Divine Town Hall meeting of Saturday, April 10th, 2010, is called to order at 12:42. We will start the roll call to establish the quorum. City Recorder, City Recorder, the one in Amherst.
City Attorney Jeremy Green.
Counselor Don Vina.
Mr. Assistant Patty Morgan.
Counselor Barbara Tucci.
Mayor Penny Schwartz.
Counselor Andrew Anthony.
Counselor Douglas Ward.
All right, all staff and council present. Do we have a quorum? Counselor Madison, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome everyone to the City of Lapine's second town hall meeting. This meeting is scheduled to run from 12:30 to 3 p.m. As you know, we already got started late. With the first portion of the meeting set aside for introductions and short presentations by candidates for local offices. Can everyone hear me okay? We have originally allotted 30 minutes for presentation of candidates, but we had enough people sign up for this. We wanted to allow 5 minutes each. And we had enough people sign up that it is going to take 45 minutes at 5 minutes apiece. We can adjust the time at the end of the meeting if needed to make sure that we get the full 2 hour town hall meeting that was originally scheduled. After all, this is your meeting, we want it to work for everyone. With that said, if everyone is also here, if everyone is here just as much to hear candidates speak as they are for the town hall meeting portion, we could even go 6 or 7 minutes. It's entirely up to you. It's your meeting.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Council, for having me here today. Tell you just a little bit about myself quickly. I'm 53 years old, I'm married, I have one child, the son who is now at Oregon State in the Marine Resources Management Program. I grew up in North Portland. Went to school briefly in LaGrand, Eastern Oregon State, and then finished up at the University of Oregon, my undergraduate degree, and my law degree at U of O. I clerked for a judge up in Clackamas County for about a year and a half, took my first position as a prosecutor, WPA, down in Lincoln County. That was January 1989. I was a prosecutor down there from 89 to 92. In 1992, my family moved to Penn, and I took a position in the Deschutes County District Attorney's Office. I was a prosecutor there from 92 to 2001. From 1995 to 2001, I was the chief deputy being in charge of felony operations and prosecuted successfully most, if not all, of the notorious cases during that time period. I'd encourage you to go to my website or pick up a brochure if you want to know more about my background. I'm happy to talk with you by phone, in person, could email me for more information. The DA's office should be about justice, not politics. It's a nonpartisan office. It should be about justice. We give over to the district attorney the authority to seek justice in our name. And when the district attorney pursues just convictions rather than justice, that hurts our community. We all suffer when injustice doesn't occur. And we pay the price for it. Now, we deserve and have the right to expect a district attorney who will focus his efforts on advocating for us in the courtroom to do justice, to seek justice. The DA's office is about justice, not politics. We do not elect the district attorney to campaign for other elected officials or go out on the stump for ballot measures like ballot measures 66 and 67. Now, we elect state representatives and state senators, and for that matter, the city councilors, to pursue legislative issues like that. Those are the people that we give the authority to for pursuing what normally are partisan political objectives. That's not what we elect the district attorney for. You know, these are really difficult economic times that we're in right now. And I understand that, and I believe that most people understand that in a bad economy, you have to tighten your belt. You have to make do with what you have. You need to do more with less. Okay? We all know that our public safety resources, along with all of our other resources, are limited. They're precious. And the answer to the limited public safety resources that we have is not going out and increasing taxes, asking people to pay more when they have less to begin with. The answer is becoming more efficient or more cost effective. That's what we need to do. I'm doing that, my family's doing that, I'll bet that most of you are doing that. And we deserve and have the right to expect a district attorney who understands that in these difficult times, the answer is increasing efficiency, not demanding more money. My time is just about up. I want you to know, I'm not a career politician. My wife's not a career politician. I would be honored to serve you as district attorney, as I was honored to serve you as a deputy DA and a chief deputy DA. I'm here to give you a choice for the first time in 20 years, so I ask you all to make a reasoned choice this time. You may not have another opportunity for another 20 years.
I've been with the attorney for 23 years. I got the first in 1986, started serving in 1987. And during the 23 years that I've been with the attorney, you've done some amazing things, sometimes inside the box and sometimes outside the box. We certainly have prosecuted, and we take care of business. We prosecute for major crimes, or minor crimes, whatever, all of those things. But I'm really proud to tell you that during the 23 years, what we've done, well, I've taken the time to step outside of the DA's office, to step on that podium, to make an effort to change the community for the better. In 1990, we started to develop the KIDS Center, the Kids Diagnostic and Intervention Center, to take care of abused and neglected children. That center is now up and running, has been for 20 years. And
believe, a great opportunity. In 1996, we had a lot of school and violence around the nation, and it was coming here. I created the Safe School Alliance. And the Safe School Alliance is still meeting monthly with teachers and mental health and the juvenile department, the law enforcement community, the DAs. So we can figure out how we can best reduce violence. And you know what? Since 1996, when we first created, 1997 was our first statistical year, you know, something like 75 kids arrested at schools for violent acts. After we created the protocols and policies for that, the very next year, we reduced it down to 34. And now we've added schools, and we're still below 20 arrests this year. So we have done a great job in Safe School Alliance. Another example, you can't prosecute every crime. And everybody who commits a crime may be good accidentally, or didn't do it on purpose, or whatever. But the bad check problem is kind of huge. And then some of you know, we created a bad check restitution program in our office. When we take them outside of the courtroom, we don't charge them with crime. We teach them how to balance their checkbook, and we get restitution. And since we created that program, the last 7 years, we covered $224,000 and a little bit more for merchants in Chiefs County and victims of bad checks without costing the taxpayers one dime. Not one dime. And in fact, there are some people that have to provide that service to donate it back to the Chiefs County Victims Assistance Program, so $29,000, without costing the taxpayers a dime. In addition to that, last year, of course, you know, the times are tough. We can't prosecute every crime. Some of the more minor crimes, we still have to have people held accountable. We've got to change their thinking, their criminal thinking, so we've created a community accountability program. Mr. Rob Maskey in my office heads up that community accountability program. We'll refer people to that to get their criminal thinking changed. And that has returned a modest $2,250 to the Victims Assistance Program without costing taxpayers a dime. And we've reduced the budget in the district attorney's office in this last year as well. I might add that the district attorney, I'm a state employee, the legislature cut my salary. How's that? But that's part of balancing the budget. Public safety is what district attorneys are about. And public safety is something we've got to talk about out in the community every day. And 66 and 67, 2000 years, none of us like, but having that passed, so look at that, 700 million dollars from the state budget. And that would have reduced our state police, it would have closed 6 prisons, we would have cut $7 million from the education for Bendel Pines School District. $7 million out of the Bendel Pines School District. And you see the sign I got on my phone said, fight crime, invest in kids. How can you invest in kids if you cut education? You can't. So some of those things we had to do, 24-7 police patrol, state police. It would have taken 25% of the criminal forensic scientists to the state crime labs. And they would have closed the OIA facility in Harney County, the largest employer in Harney County. I'm about public safety, and I am willing to go out of the stump. I'm willing to campaign for it. I'm willing to talk about it. And I think you guys appreciate that as well. I was born and raised in Fine Falls. I went to Oregon State for a while, and Oregon for a while, and graduated from Lewis and Clark Law School. I got 30 seconds left. I really appreciate coming down here. Thank the commissioners and the counselors. Thank you as well. And I certainly hope you look at my material. Put one up on the wall over there for you so you can see it time after time. So, thank you very much.
We'll move on to the candidates for the Chiefs County Commissioner position number one. Just go right on down the line here. Tony DeBone, if you would like to step up, please. We do have a very different type of person.
I wanted you to watch your throat we're here about, you know, voting to get the box, so if you have any registrations in the back of the table over there, if anybody wants to grab one and move one, or you might want to change a party affiliation towards a Republican, grab one. So I thought, seriously, a few people have said that, it's, you know, a good time to do that. I think it's just about over, though. I don't know if you know what the date is. Real close here.
21 days,
practically. Yeah, so just a few more weeks, you know. But I want to thank everybody for coming here. I mean, this is a LaPine event. This is kind of the first time we came out debating different positions in the county in this current election. Want to thank the city of LaPine for having us here. I mean, this is exciting. LaPine is maturing. We're coming up, we're getting organized, and things are starting to happen down here. I'm proud to be from LaPine. My name is Tony Vigone, everybody knows. 43 years old. My wife and I lived here. We moved here 6 years ago. She grew up here originally. But not born and raised in Oregon myself, my wife was. And my son was 11, he's in 5th grade right now, going to 6th grade next year. A couple things, so my son's outside and I'm working with the kids. We're looking at a tune-up day for a Finley League baseball field. Next weekend is the Little League opening. And my wife's not, we're going to play with my wife, so we're all over today. You know, it's just amazing how we keep getting involved with these things. I'm really happy to do that too. The Chiefs County Commissioner, position one, really is what I'm very interested in helping lead the county. That's my goal these days. I've been doing the Pine Park and Recreation District for 5 years now. I'll be finishing a fully elected term in the middle of next year. So if I do get elected for this position, I'll leave it within just a few months of finishing fully elected term. And that's volunteer work, for the kids, for the community. It is board work though, and budgeting. So I do have experience. Well, we lived in Hawaii, that's where I met my wife. I was involved with a canoe club. I got a board of directors of 300 people, many families. It was the state sport. And we did huge operations, big events for fundraising and all kinds of stuff. So I have done some pretty big things in my day. As a software developer and a technologist, I do have a different point of view. So one of my points here is a new perspective. Let's provide a new perspective for the county. I don't come from a lumber and a construction and all that bad industries, but they're not mature right now, or they're not happening right now. We need jobs, we need to diversify the economy. One of the things I'd like to see is smaller regional industry, food production, distribution. So the whole world has kind of gotten mega-sized, and we need to bring that back a little bit. What are we going to do? And I'm not going to provide a lot of specifics here, but stuff like just, you know, chickens in the yard and food production, meat processing in Central Oregon, some of this kind of stuff. Diversifying the economy, making sure people are doing the work instead of sitting around for unemployment, waiting for the next job. And I've gone through that process. I was let go of Seattle and we moved here because of that. I said, well, let's go out of a big city and find out what we want to do. So we knew we moved to an economically depressed area. We were excited to do what we wanted to do, and we're happy to be where we're at. One of the things I would like to just tell the community and the world right now is probably the best way to go start a job, especially in the state of Oregon, where we're going to be in trouble, because if personal income tax is the way that the state taxes get paid, and nobody's working, we're going to be in big trouble, and we all know it's going to get worse before it gets better. But right now is the time to follow your passion and go start a job, start a company, start a new career doing something. That's going to, not everybody's going to be successful, but some will, and then we'll have some new things in the county. Let's see if I got a few specific notes that I'm missing anything here. I want to thank you to say everybody for coming to our time today. So, for the Chiefs County, kind of the size of the county, we may have to shrink a little bit. We all know the budgets are getting smaller. I'll be coming up with a new perspective. I don't have any relationships that exist and that we have to, you know, kind of manage and stuff. I'm very interested in stepping in, asking some tough questions, making some things happen, and providing leadership. I do have very good skills at communicating with two sides of our issues. I was at the Park District. We have people very upset sometimes for some issues. And I knew they were upset at me. They were upset at the process. They were upset at some money that was spent or received from somebody. So I mean, I know I can lead at the county level, not take it personally, make some hard decisions, and help lead the county through this great recession. My time's just about up there. I want to thank everybody for coming, and I'm excited that this has happened here in the Pine today. I'm excited to see my people right there, this seat and other seats. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of the race. I'm going to see my opponent personally. I thought maybe he was going to be here today, but I've got to be here to do this kind of speech in the near future, so thanks for letting me happen here today.
And again, that's your crime keeper in front of you over there in the other room.
I'm John Doyle, and this is Crumb I'm going to leave this on because I've been refusing to have me prepared because I talk on using problems that are sitting on the line. In my opinion, this is probably the most important election in the 22 years I've lived in Deschutes County. I believe we need to get politics out of justice. Justice should be blind to politics here is never blind to. If you have new addresses, then everything else will take care of itself. The economy and job growth include. We have equal justice. The truth of commerce comes out in the end. If you have equal justice, you can get money out of politics because they're putting in jail for people stealing their millions of drugs and corporations and running on crime. And simply it's taking all the money out. It's really simple.
A complaint about
Very
with the election. Is that it?
Yeah.
County.
City councilors, city staff, citizens of South County, Ohio, thank you for having me here today. My name is Dallas Brown. I'm a candidate for position one in the Deschutes County Commissioners. I'm often asked why am I running for office, particularly with Deschutes County Commissioners. And my answer to that is I grew up in the state of Ohio, and I've always been practicing with public service in the community. I decided that I, even though I'm only 35 years old, I'm going to jump into my politics, begin my career, and work my butt off to get elected. I'm asking you today for your vote, and I think I'm going to win that. I'm going to be working hard for all of the shoots, for all of the counties, for the whole county, including the southern parts, the northern parts. And I think one thing that, one reason I'm running for this position, I think it's the same reason that Mr. DeBrow is running for this position on the other side, is because the current person in office is not looked at doing an appropriate job of representing the whole county. And we need new leadership who's going to listen to the voices of every citizen in this county and lead the county in the direction that we need to go. Currently, we have unemployment that hovers around 16% still. This is a crisis, ladies and gentlemen. The current commission doesn't seem to recognize this. We need to work to diversify the economy of Tomosa. We need to work to build infrastructure so we can attract businesses to come to this county, to invest in creating jobs for the citizens here to get us out of this economic recession. I forgot my materials today, and I apologize because everybody else seemed to bring some, but I would like to say this for people that have been paid here right now. Is my website is DallasBenchutes.com, and the floor is FOR. And I encourage all of you to go and check out my website because I outline some of the issues that I think are important to this county. And to go over a couple, the economy is a main issue. Infrastructure is a big issue. But there's also smaller issues that we got to look at as well. Yesterday I met with the veterans group in Deschutes County. And there are veterans. In fact, there's 600 veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan that will be entering this county within the next 6 months. We need to have services in place for these people returning. These are the heroes of this country who go out and fight for us. And we need to make sure as a county that we support them when they return. Part of that is having jobs. Part of that is having education. And part of that is having services to help them with any disabilities or mental illnesses they have returning from war. There's other issues we need to work on. Transportation. In order to attract businesses, in order to grow as a county, combat unemployment, we need to work on transportation issues. The cruising 97 interchange is a big thing. We have to get that done so we can develop that part of the county to bring in industry. We have to support public transportation. The CLIC is going to be taking the bus service and then expanding it throughout the tri-counties. Transportation is an issue that I have a background in that I care very much about. And I'm going to be working hard as a commission to do that for you. I think I summarized a lot of what I have to say, so I'd like to take a question or two if anybody has one. No questions?
Can you just open a veterans, some type of a...
They do open a veterans center, and that was a great step in the direction. Yep, it was just starting. The county commissioner wanted to make sure that the county supports those efforts and supports the veterans attorney. That is a real priority.
I'm just wondering how familiar you are with our struggle against the septic system issue and the background for...
Yes, I'm very familiar about the local issues, and this is part of what my message was as a candidate. I'm going to be listening to the residents of this county. I'm going to communicate to the city council meetings once I could. I'm going to be meeting with the folks here and listening to the concerns so that we can find a solution together. Not having people from one area of the county to the other area of the county to do business. So that is important for me.
Another question that I have in relationship to this, it impresses me is that most government bodies, like the City Commission, has a staff that does research for them. In the County Commission's situation in dealing with South County over the septic system, the staff was giving them inaccurate and flat-out bad information based on several studies that had problems. What are you going to do about your staff?
Sure. Well, for you as an individual, I think as a candidate of the county commissioners, I will always do research myself as well. I won't be up to date on the issues. Working with staff, you have to have people who you can trust, people who are professional. responsible for knowing the issues in a detailed manner. I thank you all for this time. It's great to see the community of Lupin interacting with the politics. I'm going to ask you to vote on the Democrat electoral summary of the primary ballot. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll move on to Deschutes County Commissioner position number 3. We have Ed Verbo signed up.
My name is Ed Verbo, and I am running for County Commissioner position number 3. I'm a flight investigator. I've worked the last 50 years at workers' comp insurance fraud. I also am a restaurant in Bend. You know, being a restaurant owner in these economic times, it's difficult at best. And this is what's happening in our county. People are struggling for jobs. People are struggling to heat their houses. People are just struggling. And for me, sitting around watching the politics of Deschutes County one night, my wife looked at me and said, when is somebody doing it right? When is somebody going to care about the citizens of Deschutes County instead of just getting reelected? When is that going to be important? So I decided to run for this position based on that kind of thinking. When I was looking at the issues that confront the county commissioners, one of the things that kind of impacted me was when I first lived in Deschutes County, I lived in the south part in Deschutes River Woods. And it seemed like there was a difference between the west side of Bend and the south side of Bend. That kind of mirrors the way LaPlante has been treated by the county commissioners in some ways. You know, it seems like you have almost a complete disconnect with a couple of the county commissioners. Yeah, they're DEQ. But in having those folks sit there and explain the issues, explain where their position was, explain where they were coming from, and then listen to you. And I think that's important. If you're going to be a county commissioner, you're going to be running the business of the county, you've got to listen to the people that pay your salary. You've got to care about everybody in Deschutes County, not just the ones that live close to you, not just the ones that voted for you. If you're a Republican or a Democrat, you're still being represented by that county commissioner. And I think it's very important that the politicians in today's day and age represent everybody in the county. I think it's important. I don't think it's been happening. And so I'm going to ask for your vote, but I'm going to do it based on one campaign promise. That's the only promise I'm going to make because it's the only one I know I can keep. I promise to represent you just as well as I represent anybody else in Deschutes County. If you have an issue, my door is always open. If you look at my campaign literature, it's got my number on it. It's got my cell number. I keep that with me all the time. You can always call me. I'll always listen. And I will always try to do the best I can for every part of Deschutes County. If that's important to you, it's important to me. By the way, Mr. Brown, yeah, fun of your speech, you sounded like a good Republican. When you're talking about that infrastructure. And so I encourage you to give me a call and we'll see if we can work that out for you in the future. But in any case, infrastructure is important. Planning is important. It seems like the plan is on the right track. Your planning, your city, I'm proud of that. I think you guys are going to do well. A little bit of tourism, a little bit of economic opportunities, some good planning, and you're going to do well in the county of Deschutes. So I'll take one question. Did you have one? Okay, I thought you did. I don't like that. I thought, okay, I got a question. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm a conservative Democrat and a Republican trying to get to join. I don't think so, but are you going to try to get me to join too?
And I'm going to try to get you to join my party?
Yeah.
Sure.
Conservative Democrats.
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll make that campaign promise to talk to everybody. So we'll talk a little bit later and we'll see if we can change your mind. But we're going to do these important decisions. Anyways, thank you for your time.
I want to ask you one question.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd
were involved in a lot of different project issues with Deschutes County. And one of the biggest, since 2000, one of the biggest areas that I see is how are you going to address the conflict of interest that exists between COIC and the county?
The conflict of interest between COIC and the county,
yes.
Please be specific.
There are, when issues are addressed that affect the entire county, Deschutes County looks to COIC for their input or for their strategic planning, which creates a conflict of interest. You have city commissioners, commissioners sitting on the COIC board.
The time is worth up, so your question needs to...
I'm sorry, but, my quick response is, please give me a call. I'd love to talk to you further. I don't think I can do it in this form of the time you've got, but I will talk to you. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the health position. And thank you.
Hi, I'd like to thank you for inviting me here. I'm not on the ballot, so I'm doing a little bit of this opportunity to come down to slide 5 and introduce myself. I'm a membership of the Leadership Committee for the last 7 minutes. And before that, I work for the City of Redmond as the City Reporter. We're up in Central London, and we have the opportunity to be serving with you. A lot of you in the audience, we work on various projects together, and quite enjoy that. And part of the department I work for, the public staff, they do an excellent job. And many of you know that people are using the real estate market, those kind of things, and have our material out on the website so that we can do research and whatnot, and whether you have to be able to continue learning more information. So you don't have to come into our office if you can do your research online. As well as on the other side, the election side of the house, we've got a lot of information, and hopefully that's very helpful to a lot of you. As well as just want to let you know that as of March 1st, voter registration went online, so if you have new and need to update your registration, you can get that done. The last Tuesday of the month is the last day to register vote if you're not registered, so please do that. Also, if you're interested in how the election process works, give me a call and hear an election during the primary. It's great for us to be able to share how the election process works, so if you feel comfortable with election performance, and you have been coming in and work on that process that works for so many people, and I was really, really proud of that, so I'd like to share that. I'm not going to do it for 4 or 5 minutes, I just want to introduce myself and say hi, and if you have any questions, please give me a call. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Next up is Scott Langton, Deschutes County Assessor.
I'm Scott Langton. I'm your Deschutes County Assessor. I definitely won't take the 5 minutes because I'm first enough to be running unopposed, but I did want to take the opportunity to introduce myself to those of you who might not know me. And tell you what an honor it has been to serve as your assessor, and I look forward to the next 4 years also. Redmond is a rather unique, complex property tax system, as most of you are well aware. So I won't get into that now, but I would extend the offer that anytime anybody has any questions, concerns, wants to know more about it, please give me a call, stop by, if there would be a desire to have me come down and do a town hall on that. I'd be more than willing to do that also. So, just wanted to say thank you, and how's that for saving a little time?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll finish up with candidates for the Deschutes County Circuit Court Judge position. Wells Ashby.
Good afternoon, thank you for having me here today. My name is Wells Abbey. I'm a native Oregonian. I was born in Eugene in 1969. I am married to Judy Ashby, and I have four wonderful children. And I currently work with Mike Dugan in the district attorney's office. And I've been with the district attorney's office in this county for the past 5 years. My legal experience includes starting out as a counselor in Colorado, where I've worked with teens with addiction issues, criminal issues, and mental health issues. That's when I knew that I wanted to go to law school and serve communities. I practiced as a criminal defense attorney in the public defender's office, helping people who couldn't afford an attorney. I also worked on complex business litigation, did that for a year, knew that I wanted to be in the courtroom. Had a friend who's a judge, and he said, "Wells, you know anything about becoming a prosecutor?" And some of the best advice I ever got. I've been a prosecutor for the past 8 years. I have handled all manner of cases. I've practiced in juvenile court, child dependency. I've practiced in state district and circuit courts, state appellate and Supreme Courts. Cases I've handled have included major drug cases, DUIs, assaults, murder. When I was in the Josephine County District Attorney's Office over in Grants Pass, I was the head of the multidisciplinary team, assigned with screening every single child abuse case and every single child sexual abuse case for that county. In addition to the cases I handled for children, I handled all of the sexual assault cases that involved adults. I began working here 5 years ago with Mike Dugan, and as a deputy district attorney, I make the same decisions that a circuit court judge makes every day. Who will be prosecuted? How will they be treated within the system? What's fair? I have administrative experience and fiscal experience. And why does that matter? Because we're expected to do more with less. And when you vote, you should vote for a candidate who does more with less every day. One of the programs that we're implementing in the district attorney's office is Partners in Prosecution, where attorneys come in from civil firms to get trial experience. That program is being run at zero cost to taxpayers, so no increase. Where else do I serve this community? Well, you've elected me before. I'm an elected official on the Belmont Pines School Board. Every year we're required to balance our budget. And I want you to know, when I ran for school board, the first stop that I made was in South County, here in La Pine, to recognize that it's not the Bend School Board, it is the Bend La Pine School Board. And this is also not my first time in this room. I was out here doing the instructional for the La Pine Lions. I've taught to the Lions. I've spoken to the Senior Center, Mid-State Electric, on the subjects of computer crime and cyber predators. So I get out from behind my desk and get out in the community to teach the community about the issues that we're facing. Leadership. I'm a leader in the district attorney's office. I supervise a trial team that does more trials than any other team in that office. They have 3,500 cases per year. That's 2/3 of all the cases that go through the DA's office, 1,300 of which are DUIs. I'm a leader in the community as an elected official. I also give my time to groups such as Saving Grace. I taught classes at CSCC, Mountain View High School, J.R.J. Ranch. I volunteer to teach Sun River Citizens Academy. I was out there just this past week. I did the annual training for the Sun River Police Department on changes in the law. So I give my time, my personal time, to this community. What else? Fairness. I'm going to take the experience that I have from working in three different states to make sure that our laws are fairly applied in Deschutes County. But you want a circuit court judge who's tough. When I went to court as a prosecutor, I expect results, not excuses, from people who go into court. That's the same thing I expect every day as a prosecutor. Finally, all of that has resulted in support from this community. I am endorsed by every district attorney's office I've worked in. I'm endorsed by the Redmond Police Officers Association, who recognize my work in major crimes cases. I'm endorsed by Crime Victims United for the work that I've done for victims in this county. And I'm also endorsed by the Bend Bulletin. The Bulletin stated, "FB has a clear idea of crimes and those who commit them." And stated further, "FB brings the depth of community awareness to the job the whole thing just cannot match. My partner and I have practiced law for nearly an identical amount of time. But I'm the candidate who's shown a demonstrated commitment to this community day in and day out. While his endorsements are my support, not what I ask for is your vote of support today. Thank you, Jim, for having me on. It's wonderful.
Other candidate for Deschutes County Circuit Court Judge, Thomas Hill.
About a month ago, I called down and I asked Mayor Shields. I said, you know, I want to come down and say hi to the city council because my wife and I are getting out and doing the time locking up the doors. I don't want that stranger to get reported to the city council and say, who is that guy? So she was very kind and she approached the council and said, you know what, this makes sense. Maybe there are other candidates out there that want to come down and talk as well. And the council was very good about setting this up and making this happen for all eight people. So I thank the council very much for setting this up. What you're hearing today of all the candidates for all the positions is a observation that we as the citizens are looking for some integrity and some people that we can count on in each of the positions that we are electing them for. Now, a judge position is a unique position. Of all the people you've heard here today, other than the DA's office, this is a non-partisan position. Non-partisan means we're not supposed to be Republican, we're not supposed to be Democrat, we're supposed to simply be people, men, women with enough years of experience to do the job. You have a prerequisite. Now, you go to law school, you have to do 3 years, whatever. You got to have the good knowledge base to serve as a judge. But that's not the key. The key is the man or woman on the bench in front of you, when you come there, or your nephew comes there, or your neighbor comes there, are they going to be honest with them? Are they going to be fair with them? And most importantly, are they the same person from the same neighborhood, from the same community, that can actually look at them and say, hey, you know, I understand you, I get you. Okay? I will apply the law. The law is what it is. The law is what it is. Nobody has a monopoly on that. Judges don't like the law. Contrary to what Mr. Maxton just told you, judges don't decide who gets prosecuted. That's the DA's office. Judges are supposed to be independent of that process. Judges sit up there and say, this is the law, and what I can strive to do is not forget where I came from, not forget what I represent. That is you. This is a public seat. Public position. There's only 7 positions up there. So, Dallas, there's a place for 25-year-old politicians. There's a place for that. Mr. DeBrown, there's a place for your experience and your knowledge. And Mr. Ashby, there's a place for your youth and experience. He's still with me. I stood out with Mr. Ashby. He's not great. I gotta go back. Somebody that's been involved and said, Hill's a good guy, Hill's a good candidate, we have 2 good candidates, but they like Mr. Ashby's, the fact that he had served on the school board for at least a year. Let me tell you about my background. I started out at the age of 24 years ago as a deputy sheriff. Okay? I worked as an incredible for a year. I put out on patrol rather rapidly because I did a good job. I was blessed, I was very blessed. I moved up quick. I was not just prosecuting homicides, I was investigating homicides. I was knocking on doors in the middle of the night, investigating homicides. I learned really quick at a very young age how to talk to people. Okay? When you're as little as I am, and you're doing some scary things in all hours of the day, you know, that bulletproof vest doesn't do you much good. You know? A fist to the face puts you down pretty fast. I learned to talk to people, and I learned to respect people. I learned that people that do horrendous things are regular people that are in horrible circumstances. But I'm still tough. I'm still tough. Thank you. I took that experience. experience, people told me, said, try law school. I did that. I moved to, after I graduated, I prosecuted for a year. Since then, I've been in private practice for 12 years. I have my own business. I am from a family of 8 kids. I was the first of 8 to go to college. My background is very much blue collar. My father was a truck driver. I'm very comfortable with where I'm at in life. Again, I'm going to say it more time, I'm very blessed with where I'm at in life. I have the experience, the bar code, the opinion of all the attorneys in this county. But they think if you wanted to hire an attorney, who would you go to? Probably attorney friend, right? If you knew an attorney, to ask him, who would I use? I expect the bar code results to be out on the 20th. We have over 350 registered attorneys in our county. I got 100 emails within 2 days in support of me when that book came out. I expect the results to be overwhelming in support of me. But more importantly, I'm going to go down and talk to as many people as I can because I expect the citizens of your county, of our listening county, to give me overwhelming support too. Just because I'm going to be a man of integrity, I'm going to maintain that integrity, and I'm going to be fair and honest.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That portion of our meeting, I am not going to speak for any of the candidates, but I would anticipate that maybe some of them at least would like to stick around through the meeting and be available for discussion afterwards, for one-on-one. So. Okay, with that, we'll move on into the town hall portion of the meeting, which is here. Again, welcome everyone to the City of Lapine's second town hall meeting. This is your meeting. It's a forum for residents, members of the greater Lapine community, and guests to present concerns, questions, and suggestions to the City Council. This is meant to be informal and interactive. We look forward to engaging the public on all levels, and we welcome your comments. Now, as you may have expected, there are a few ground rules that I would like to cover with you. These ground rules are established to ensure citizen participation and meeting success. To this end, we would appreciate you adhering to the following. While I will not impose a set time limit on any input or ensuing discussion, I will be mindful of the time that's passing, and if needed, encourage closure on any topic so that we may move on to the next topic. I will keep order, which means one speaker at a time. For this is a good audience, I don't think I'll have to do that. If a group wants to speak on a particular topic, we ask that the group appoint one or two speakers to speak on behalf of the entire group. For the record, the first time you speak, please state your name and address. Subsequently, please state your name each time. This is a great help for Patty in taking minutes. In the beginning, when the meeting is ready to close, please remain seated until we're finished with the formal adjournment. Because we do have to go through a process, and we need to be able to hear each other. Again, our town hall meeting was scheduled to last for 2 hours, and if it takes that long, I'm sure I can connect with the staff and town hall to that's what we promised you. We need 2 hours, we'll stay there for 2 hours. So, thank you everyone. And now let's get on with your comments and questions. Who would like to start? My gosh, we have all these people. They're here with the mat.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Tim O'Neill. I live in Keith Drive in Pine under Shotsman. My problem is not related to what's going on here, but I need to know if you can help me. Next door to my house is the mirror house that had been moved, and family moved out about 3 months ago. The people that owned it in Tyler, San Lucas, and a girlfriend of the owner that lives in San Lucas came over 2 days ago and asked me if I could help her open the garage door because the electricity was turned off. So I went over with her. Either on purpose or an accident, the water has been running in the house on the floor for 3 months. I went in there and the wallboard has sucked up the water this high and it's grown mold all in the whole house, like a nightmare. The garage has got trash beyond the roof and a freezer full of meat and smells like a dead person in there. It's unbelievable. I have called every agency there is to call the health department. First of all, either they'll return my call or the health department said, we give our advice. And if you get paid for that, I'll do it for free. You know, they don't do anything. So, I finally got a hold of a guy named Tim that's a code enforcement officer for Deschutes County, and he's been pretty helpful, but he told me he doesn't have the power to do anything about it. He found the owner's phone number. A guy named Angelo is the property manager for that house, or was. And I've been dealing with him before he moved in to collect the rent. And I need to know where to go to get somebody to do it. This is a big health hazard. My wife's eyes are watering. She's all stuffed up. She has asthma anyway. After opening that garage and going in the house, it affected me and the lady that let me in. I asked her the next day and she said, yeah, she had trouble when she went home. Her eyes were burning and so on and so forth. So it's a big help hazard, but I can't get anybody to help me. So that's my thing. Do you guys have any power to get this thing fixed? Or do you just let it sit there and all the kids and the men get the big old mold for it? You know, somebody's got to be responsible for that.
I can call the county and find out why, you know, why there's not any action being taken.
Yeah, because that's, we don't have a report for the county.
I'll call it, you have to figure out a call, and most of them you get a recording, and you need it away from my desk, or I'll get the customer, say, you need your name and number, and I'll call you back. Well, they don't call back. The only guy calling back was the code enforcement guy. Now, he's called me 3 times, and how unusual that somebody in government is that good. I mean, sorry, but you don't have to find out like that. He supposedly was out there and looked at the house. The house is located at 16462 Heath Drive. Right behind Chatsworth, Huntington Meadows. And I'm 16464, so I'm next door. And the window comes from the west, and I'm on the other side of them, so you get all the smell and the breeze and everything.
Could you speak with the county?
I don't remember.
Could the owners themselves not take an interest, not care about the condition?
Well, see, that's what we're trying to find out. The house was with the bank, I can't think of the name of the bank, not Bank of America, but Wells Fargo. But there's a notice on the door from a company in Washington that is a debt collector and said they want money for the house. We don't know if the guy in Carlson Lucas still owns it, and he owes $136,000, and it's not worth that much, and especially now it's probably not worth $15,000. So we don't know who is the owner to find out who's anybody responsible.
I know there was new legislation introduced to make, and I don't know if that passed, to make a new owner responsible for the condition of the...
Well, it could be it's a health hazard and something has to be done about it. That's the thing. You know, who's responsible? I don't care. I'm not, but I mean, I'm responsible to let somebody know.
Well, if that legislation passed, and I don't remember putting up on that, then at least that would give it, if we could find that out, might help determine the direction we're going in.
We'll look into it.
Okay.
You can give me your phone number. I can look into it.
541-610-3872. Tim, I'm in.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
How are you?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Well, pushing it on the two of the transitions, pipes first. Anyone else? Any questions, concerns, input for the city? Oh my gosh, there's so much going on. What we do, I think, Deborah probably has a presentation for us.
He wants to know why the city can't turn the water off at least over there. Is it still running?
Oh, I doubt very much that it's still running because the water district turned it off.
The water district turned it off.
And they would have turned it off, I'm sure, a long time ago.
Supposedly, Brian Reinhardt, who built the homes, was supposed to come over there and make sure the water was shut off because the code enforcement officer called him and he's the guy that built that track of homes. So he was going to go over and make sure the water was shut off, I think, from the outside, you know. Mm-hmm. The lady shut it off in the bathroom underneath the toilet.
Okay.
So he's going to shut the whole thing down.
Okay. Deborah.
I'm just going to grab that mouse.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Deborah McMillan. I own the Managed DMC Consulting Services. We're Fortura. We are the land use consultants that are helping the city with the comprehensive plan and the upcoming zoning ordinance. And at a previous planning commission meeting, the planning commissioners wanted to get more citizen involvement going as we proceed into the details of creating the plans for zoning ordinance. And we had pretty good turnout for the comp plan, but we need to get that ratcheted up. So one of the things that we decided to do is create a contest to get citizens interested in their neighborhoods and how to live in those neighborhoods. And through the comprehensive plan process, the city is broken down into neighborhoods 1, 2, and 3. Those are not very exciting names. So what we ask is to have these posters presented to the city council and posted throughout the community on the website. Maybe this week earlier, and we'll ask her to get that in the local newspapers, and we're going to ask the bulletin to do the same, and we're going to put some advertising in the radio, all of which we believe should be throughout to the city, so there'll be no cost for that, other than producing the poster. I'm going to turn around and just talk to the audience for a second.
Is this the poster that we prepared? And ask citizens who live in La Pine to come forward and help us name the neighborhoods. We have 3 neighborhoods within the city limits. Each one needs a name. People can enter as many times as they like, as long as they live in the neighborhood that they're trying to name. And they have to be, of course, city residents. All we ask you to do is submit your information and your proposed name to City Hall. The planning commission will make the final selection, and the city council will present a resolution and framework for the winner. And we hope we can get as many people involved as possible. So when you see this poster around town, whether it's a big one like this or the little one that's being handed around, we hope to get your neighbors excited, and we hope that by May 15th we have some good news. And we hope to get people in every neighborhood interested in the zoning ordinance process. These are rules and regulations that affect your property. They affect how you build things on your property, and it's important for all citizens to understand what happens on their property. So with that, if there are any questions, I'm certainly able to answer those for you. Yes, Virginia?
Not a question. I just wanted to add that part of the reason we were doing this also is to make people realize what neighborhood they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, as a planning commission, are looking for volunteers to serve on our current transportation committee. And we are looking for one representative from each neighborhood. So,
thank you. Anything we can do to get more citizens involved is a great thing as we proceed.
Deborah?
John Thomas, the chair of the planning commission here in mind. You can see little black lines on the whole tiny map on the left. That represents the three neighborhoods. And I don't need help with this because my first objective was to name this one North Lapine.
Meeting, but I was hoping that I might be able to get an answer to a couple of things so that they help us move forward with something like that before your proposal in the future, near future. And that would be, we would like to assist the city in kind of managing the banners on the street lighting. You know, the new street lights that were just awarded to the city have places to work to market events that are happening in the community, Fuck Your Days and the rodeo and all the things that we do. We have, I think I counted about 12 events in the next 10 months that we're going to be involved in the community. Not that we can put necessarily all of those up there, but I'd like to see what I need to do if we're going to put a proposal before the city is first have the chief of the board approve the proposal that I would propose to the city. So what kind of criteria am I looking at? Because we would like to do this sooner than later, as far as presenting it and knowing whether or not you would like to have us involved in it. And so the sooner I can get this proposal prepared, the sooner I can present it. Thank you. So what would you need from us if we're going to do something like that?
No, it sounds like maybe formation of another committee.
We don't need a committee.
Well,
if you need a committee, that's it. Tell me that. But I'm just thinking that possibly things like we need to have a special insurance policy. We need to have how much of a management control do you need to have? Can we, something like that.
So I think if you come with your preliminary idea, and then we can say, well, this is where we need you to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
And this is for the proposal for managing out of the banners, correct?
Right.
We're putting them up and down?
We can put the banners up and down for you, for the event people. We can manage the stories. We can get the best deals on the buying volume. We can do a lot of things to help coordinate. Maybe it's coordination, is what I would say. And I know that, we want our town to be appealing and attractive and just kind of facilitate it. It's really bad what we've done before because the banners are still up from 2 minutes ago.
Well, flesh out your suggestion, and what you propose to do, and contact the woman if you're on the agenda for presentation.
So the first opportunity to do that, to present some of that, would be the next council meeting?
Yes.
On the 20th? 28th? Okay.
People in here realize that there was people that got together that donated these lights. They have the cost of them for the next 10 years.
the mid-state actually owns the lights, but the city has regulations over what is going to happen to those lights. And therefore, and the mayors are very busy with time and their finances, unfortunately. So I talked with them about having a chamber, which made sense to me, for you to assign out to the chamber to take care of these. It doesn't mean that you are not no longer in charge. What you're doing is delegating out to them. And I think that's just an awesome way for this to happen. I've been checking with the county on what their rules and regulations are, whether we can put things up on the stoplights and everything also. We've got, I talked to the city of Grand, actually has some rules and regulations, and we're going to bring all that together. And I think what we need is for you, for Dan anyway, actually, if Dan gets approval of what he's got going forward, to be able to know that you're willing to possibly delegate that out so that we can come up with the rules and regulations so that the city will have rules and regulations of what can become where and what.
You should be talking with James and Deborah, who are our zoning ordinance consultants. Yes, Deborah? Was there a question? Oh, I thought you wanted to say it.
Yes, she said it's not going to be possibly on the rules and regulations. A lot of places don't have any.
Well, we'll be developing a sign code, and a very important part of that are regulations related to seasonal banners, things that have to do with special events, as well as permanent signage. So if you have an interest in that or a question about it, please get a hold of me, and I'll be happy to go over that with you, and make sure you get a notice of when we start on that particular section.
So would there be a problem, if you don't mind my question here, the banners that are out there right now, on August 15th, we will fulfill our obligation, and so I'm the ones with banners up there. We'd like to make sure that we've got this proposal forward in place so that we can fill it with something else as of that date to go forward. Is that a possibility?
Right now, because the city does not have a land use regulation, we have to include the county use who does.
And they do not have any. I call them possibly.
And they have no banner regulations?
They have no banner regulations unless they go across the road.
Okay, and the force that the banners are on, are they in the public right away, or they don't have the
city
right away.
City
right away. Okay. What we might be able to do is to create something locally to allow that to occur, or just simply have it continue on this current process and make that really something that has to be dealt with as a priority when we get to that section. It's not a public health and safety issue. It's not a huge thing that will affect the community in a negative way. And if we can keep going on and serve the mission that you're talking about, I don't see why there'd be a problem. But to do it correctly, we should have some sort of regulation in place. If the county doesn't have one, then we should look at creating one when we do this.
Go ahead and chime in. This is, the timing on this is real good with us just beginning.
As the agent of record for the city of insurance, I don't think that I see an issue of concern there with regards to the banner. But as the chairman of the tourism committee, which we hope to change the TRT committee, it might be such a thing as up until now, because I actually ordinance is on the books and written, that the tourism committee could act as the go-between between the chamber and those organizations which put banners up, and the city council, so it doesn't burden the council with time-consuming stuff. And I think we've established a level of trust with the council that the committee will apply wisdom and common sense to that effect. That's just a lot. I'm not speaking for the whole, I'm talking from the chairman's committee. I'd be willing to help with that process if that would help you out.
Well, to be honest, in my mind, is if this really is kind of a simple thing, and most everybody wants the same things to happen, so if we can keep it clean and simple and get it done, and
Well, thank you. So, Dan, you'll be Art bringing something to the council then?
Yeah, do you want him to bring it to us and then we can take a look at it and send it to you, or do you want us to step out of it? It's up to you. I just trying to make it easier for you and less
time consuming because you have so much on your plate already.
I don't know, that would be good.
I have a question for the council.
One more thing, do you have a question?
I'm just serving on the planning commission. The one thing that I would state and hope that it would help with uniformity is that if you come up with a specific size and stretch, that's what I'm saying, is that so that we have the guidelines, so that we're not saying changing it and causing the next step later for having to change. Right?
Well, the light poles and the fixtures are not going to change.
But I mean the banner. I'm talking.
Yeah, the banner size is going to be established.
Okay, so it's a standard.
My name's Robin Marisol. I was part of the four group that helped put those lights in place. We've actually produced the banners for the lights that are, for the banners that are up there now. I also sit on the tourism PRT committee. You know what? This isn't rocket science. If it's of such less significance that the county doesn't have an ordinance on it, why should this be a huge thing to continue the aesthetics and enhancing our community? I mean, I'm sorry, it just doesn't make sense to me that this should be too much of an issue. If you just say, if you have trust in your tourism community, if you have trust in your Chamber of Commerce, then move forward with it at the time. You guys come in with codes for signs and banners, it can be addressed then. But why stop the whole aesthetics of something that the board group tried desperately to produce for the community? It just seems silly to me.
Can I ask my question, Bob?
Yes, sir.
It's about the road. I've lived here 20 years. And most of the roads have never been paved. I don't know what one is paved by the county. Years ago, the county commissioner gave a huge bridge to the city. It was county commissioner that has been valued at $15. It's been valued at $1 billion. And I went to Mike Daly and asked him how they do it. And he said, well, that was before my time. I'm sure. And he said, we can't do nothing about it. But the county commissioners have to approve whatever they build. And I said, well, where do you go, Mike? Just don't approve it until we give some of that money back to the county so we can fix our roads. And I'd like the city to look into that and put some pressure on the county and give some of that money back to the county instead of just going to bed and fix up on the roads. Nothing for La Pine. Can you do that?
Thank you for that. I don't know. Jeremy, do you have a response to that?
No, I don't.
Where are we going with that one? I'm sorry.
Ask the county commission.
In the back here, please.
You know, with that, you know, on the Main Street 97, we've asked this about months ago about notification stuff like, you know, that we've seen the trailers, the roads, the basically junk, as I said. And that doesn't help the city at all, that's for people coming in as tourists or anybody that really likes to come by and do lunch or breakfast, they kind of do that stuff. You know, in the past, we've seen about some kind of unification tax, and, you know, it's all business people around here. We kind of said, hey, we'll pay for it. But nothing's ever occurred, so we're kind of curious, has that ever been talked about lately or in the past?
Is what some people might call an eyesore, a kind of property, or their own beautiful thing.
And it's a real challenge to categorize what people can store in their yards or not. But it is a discussion topic that will be coming up when we go through the creation of the zoning ordinance. And I encourage you to participate when we do that, because what one person thinks is beautiful is what another person assesses as nice work. And I can't say that enough. There'll be a balance created through the public process so that we create the process that makes sense for the time. I can't guarantee that everything will be fixed just by writing the code, but when it comes through, we need the spirit to make sure that they're active in the neighborhoods, that they work with their neighbors, and encourage people to think about those things on a smaller scale than just relying upon a code and a regulation to fix it. So there's a balance.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, remember signs that we had out here in the classroom? Now, the guy didn't notice it yet. Somehow he was able to get those signs off, and so it was a nice sort. So how can that work just as fast as that?
Same thing. If there are too many signs on a property, having a sign code to help get regulated throughout the community is possible. Code enforcement is the next thing, and that's a difficult task to fund, because the level of code enforcement in one community varies from another community. And you'll find people will not want you to come in heavy-handed immediately. There'll be a phase in. So you have to think about getting the rules in place, community participation to do more within the neighborhood, to look at different things that establish the ability standard through the code priorities. And then when you go through code enforcement, making sure that you do that even-handedly as possible. It's going to be a phase-in process. So to cut to the chase, what you're asking for will be examined. At some point in time, the city has to think about funding a code enforcement position to help with those things. And then we have to look at the rules that we put in place. And we hope that we have your participation when we get to that point.
You know, at this phase of the game on our code and zoning phase, I see that as an opportunity for some vision.
Yes.
What do you want the code to look like when you go back to the corridor? Now, this is the time to get excited, and this is the fun part of it. John, did you still have something to add?
We will be looking for additional code enforcement officers. Next year, we'll be developing that. After that, we'll be, realistically about 2 years from now, we'll be developing the skills. In the meantime, what she probably said was get about 5 of your buddies and go over to your neighbor's house and make a real kind suggestion of you.
Painting and landscaping doesn't require any zoning. And I believe that if people would clean up the pine a little bit on their own, it would make a big difference. If everything was painted, had a window box in the summer, and maybe just clear up their landscaping without the weeds and just some junipers. I mean, it would really make a huge difference. And that's my point. Okay, I have one other thing. When I get the COCC bulletin, and it tells all the classes everywhere in the county, how come Lapine only has one class? How come Redmond has A, and, the rest of them have all kinds of interesting things, pottery and this and that, and what we've got is computer science. It could be wrong. It could be other ones there, but that's what I see. So what can we do to get them? I mean, is it people aren't interested? Or what is it? We only have one certain county.
I am not sure whether to tell you.
Can I talk to that for a moment? So when I'm still on the park board, and I'm going to be there for the rest of the year, we've got a community schools project coming up right now. Community schools are out of grant process right now. We're working towards getting a grant. We're going to possibly know about that the next month or so. And what it is community schools, the concept of adding after-school programs for the kids, but also diversifying before and after school for the rest of the family. You know, if we want to take a class, we work with COCC, but we'd also be able to have our own instructors here. If you want to teach something, we would be able to set up a class, have people sign up, and as long as 10 or 12 people sign up for anything, we could do that. So we we've got that coming through the park district, so
And of course, there's always money involved. I know this has been kind of the problem with not having COCC classes out here recently is financial.
Well, so one of the things we're working on is the White School building rebuild. Does it fit right into that?
Yeah, it does. I also instruct for COCC part-time here and there. And one of the, well, we have two issues as far as COCC is concerned down here is one, having a location, two classes, and two, we get scheduled classes and classes and classes and have to cancel them to provide a
class.
Yes,
you can, but you have to pay.
Well, the community schools program will put together will be in coordination with the schools, and there'll be a community schools coordinator, which will be run for that park district. But that person will have talk with the schools, and we'll be able to schedule stuff after school. We'll be able to use them for classrooms. So that's kind of one of the big things is the park district, the park building rebuild. We have an architectural review. There could be a couple million dollars for this big vision we have. We have $500,000 starting point right now, which is making the building insulated for use throughout the year, rebuilding entryways and some walkways, the lights put windows up inside of it. But if we get back that work, we're there. And that's in the works, so that's part of good stuff.
Well, yeah. Yeah, well, how the pilot is underrepresented on all our regional boards. Now, the council is just becoming involved in a lot of municipal committees. Like, I'm going to do a couple of acronyms out if you guys correct me. There's CMCT, which deals with transportation. I belong to the local board. What I do notice is that Prineville shows up usually 4 deep. They usually come with about 4 representatives. They all have issues to the table. And if you notice that Prineville has gotten some real economic shot in arms. They've gotten the that new rail contract. They've also gotten everybody knows Facebook. So the council is making efforts to show up to these regional boards, and that's really important. And now we just have to find a voice.
I'd like a little time to speak on the path from the COC to the Parks Board. I've been fighting for about 16 years for a county commissioner to be by a county commissioner to be a county commissioner in the North County systems, in Terrebonne, and a county commissioner in Sun River and Laquan. And when you have a problem, that's who you want to go to, your county commissioner. If we have a problem here in Laquan, I want to go to somebody here in Sun River and Laquan that represents us about a problem. I had to go to the FBI about Greg Brown. He got investigated and put in jail. I had to go to Winnie Martin's chief of police of Redmond about Malloy and got him put in jail. I would have gone to a county commissioner if he represented Lapine first.
Okay.
Gloria.
I was at the meeting of the Park and Rec. One of the things that they are trying to get some this grant. And one of the things that was stressed is that they would really like to have more educational components to it. So I would suggest that anybody has an idea. I know I put in one suggestion about maybe some climate gardening and that sort of thing. If we had more things going on with the park and rec that were educational, it would really help them. So if you have any ideas, that Justin's got for now.
If I have a request for the council and for you both on the the 97 corridor as the first priority for code enforcement, because that's what people see when it comes to the pine. That sets the stage and the idea of people's perception of the tourism committee, that's really important, because our whole point is to try and bring more money, more tourism dollars into this country. So if I had one, please, concentrate on that. And if there's a way to short-circuit that, to get some way to get the ODOT or the county involved, which is on a state highway, now, I would certainly welcome that, because it's challenging and frustrating. To be quite blunt, I'm tired of having a business next to a junkyard.
I'd like to get additional details from you, or I'd have your emails.
Sure, sure.
Can I just send you a few emails and see if I can get you any more
details? Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, yes. How do you think that would be that there is speaking for a moment? What's your name?
Adam Winty.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't hear Joanne.
Okay. Thank you.
I thought you were circling me that she wanted to speak again.
No.
Can I say it?
Well,
unless anyone else has anything else.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here in Hogan. I wanted to take a moment and thank the city council. When we had our town hall last fall, there was some really important items that we were all concerned with. One was the stoplight issue. Two was the absorbing sewer and water. I just want to thank you. And the other one was the main one was getting a city manager, and I know that you guys have started to work towards those two things. I thank you for that, but I encourage you not to dither and dally around when it's moved forward, because those three items are so important for our community, and I really want to see us move forward with that. And I also wanted to give a thank you to Patty. For the first time, I'm actually getting emails that open, and I can read, and I know that. And that is you, and I'm dying on the spot as soon as I ask. So thank you.
Well, thank you for that acknowledgement. And I think I've been putting a lot of time and putting a lot of work into it.
Don't stop.
Yes. Oh,
don't slow down.
We're done. Thank you for that.
I'm Vicki Jackson, 17346 Maple Court. I'd like to highlight a little bit of the city manager. Then you have the rain fighter, Roger Jordan, coming, I believe, Tuesday, Wednesday. And he's going to be interviewing the community members about this part-time interim city manager. My question is, will the city manager be given authority to be able to make decisions and actually really run the city?
Or what about working on that interim position with the parking access?
And then a side note, we have a lot of real estate brokers here. When I went on research to come to Lehigh, say 8 years ago, the realtors from Ben wouldn't even take us down to Lehigh because of the mess. But I will say that the problem now with the code enforcers, Tom Anderson is the community department manager. They only have two code enforcers, and it's all complaint driven. So if you have gorgeous house, you've got somebody that's got trash, you have to actually fill out a form or send a complaint on them, and then it's followed up. And the septic issue with the metal tanks, it's the same issue as well. That's why the county hasn't been able, because as the Schutz County Financial Advisory that I was on, we wanted to say, okay, if we've got metal tanks leaking right now, why aren't you going on the properties and doing stuff about it? But they're saying that we don't have the authority. So even if we get it in writing with the code, you have to be able to have enforcement of it, whether it's code enforcement, and then be able to take it to the court system. So, and the problem with that is a lot of times the identity of the neighbor who complained is revealed. So you can imagine, the problems. But thank you.
Thank you for that input.
Thank you. Sorry, I just wanted to add one last thing. City Council's been working hard on addressing transportation issues, traffic energy issues, intersection issues, and a lot of that has
do with getting a base of data to figure out which intersections along our corridor need to be fixed first. And an RFP is out. Shipp County will be administering it and selecting consultants to come in and prepare detailed information that will be acceptable to ODOT. This will provide the basis of what intersections need to be fixed first, how they need to be fixed to improve safety, and then that body of information helps us go forward and develop a capital improvement program that will be funded eventually by system development charges. Those are the base components that cities use to help improve their transportation systems. And the corridor planning is underway now. And I forgot to mention that earlier, but I just wanted to let people know.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And so that's the solution to Person 97, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
All of our other questions.
This is kind of side, but we stopped by the Little Deschutes Wash today. They were having an open house. It's the first time we've been in there. It is beautiful.
Wow.
And they're landscaping. They're using natural plants. They're doing a really nice job. They are trying to get applications for people that would want to move into the second phase. Their cutoff date is April 26th. So if you know of anyone that wasn't able to get in the first phase, they still have a chance. But they need to get their applications in. We will have another open house in June if you get a chance to go in.
I'm going to take the name of the drive. Unfortunately, outside the city limits, I'm checking in to tell you what happens. I chair the Chamber of Commerce Economic Development and Government Affairs Committee. And we've been looking a lot for a long time, just like the city has, a problem with the intersection at 97 and First and Reed. One of the things that was mentioned a long, long time ago was SEC is in order to help fund that. Is the city getting closer to thinking about, I know it's kind of an icky thing to think about another charge, but any closer to considering the SEC?
So that's one of the things that the study is going to address.
And, James, we don't mind that you live outside the city limits. You're still a very valuable person to us, and thanks for all your time on the Municipal Utilities Committee. You're doing a great job. Yes?
I also like to suggest a real city manager a hired process. So it should be to get a on how to work with the council. In the past, not the current council, but in the past, the council, in my opinion, overstepped their bounds in trying to work the city on that. The council is there for policy and the vision of the city. The city needs to express that to the city manager, I also like what I'm hearing from transportation. I implore the city to take the lead on all transportation matters involving 97.
City Council was there, but they should have been there because you had top individuals from ODOT that were addressing issues in Central Oregon. Nobody from the planet was present except myself and those one or two other individuals. And I'd like to know if you could have had a voice there to find out why ODOT has not moved on improvements on 97, not about the 78 issue with of the Pillar Fellow, we're having an issue with to get the speed there. And they are already working on a solution with all that, just because they were there and they spoke out. And I'd just like to know why wasn't anyone from the city council there? Is there active in a split and showing control or that get their butts moving?
Well, you're talking about improvements in the downtown corridor here, correct?
They focus on because was looking at the downtown corridor and 97.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you know there's a big improvement underway at Wickiup Junction, and of course we have the intergovernmental agreement with ODOT and the county and the Lapine Industrial Group and the city to, as Deborah was explaining earlier, to research our needs here, to study on our needs here, and address what it is that we are going to need to mitigate our traffic problems and get something done. It is being done.
One of the points that you're going to run into, which is what was brought up, is Central Avenue. Depending where 97 is, it's got a different interpretation. Now, speed is a same issue in the world. And we go, why are they able to slow down cars that are on the sisters area, but not around the pine? I think it's the only thing the response was from what it was because of its definition. Well, there's no difference in terms of the topography of it. It's just a matter of who spoke out the loudest and who was there at the meeting.
Well, Wiseman has moved our project, the first 97, on the ODOT priority list from, was 54?
Number 7.
Up to number 9.
No, 16.
Oh, 16.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that in itself is huge. So we do have ODOT in partnership with us, with, you know, when these agencies get together, it was a huge coup for us to get an MOU, have a plan, you know, the RFP is out, and then we're going to get the study. So we're further along than we've ever been for a really viable solution. And the city really stuck its neck out in line, because after the city is in place, we're going to have to come up with the funding. And we're looking very hard for some grants and that.
Original question, why none of you have been to any of the meetings she asked? That was her original question. It kind of got the answer now. And nobody answered that question, and I'm still kind of waiting for that one.
I didn't even hear about it. Donna and I are going to our theme meeting, and we're working on transportation.
She was just saying that Tumble or whatever was getting them, you know, this week we'll basically something there until it's more done, and she was wondering why you guys, somebody hasn't represented them.
I would like to if I knew about them.
See, that just, it goes back to the same issue, is that people are not able to invite them to the table. They are not invited, or they forget to invite us, or they make decisions on our behalf.
So you're saying that you can't go over 40
no,
down because you're
they probably didn't notify us.
Didn't know about it. But when is the time is at the table with ODOT, and there are ODOT meetings and meetings held by other organizations with ODOT in attendance that different ones of the councilors do regularly go to. This one I was not aware of either. So,
follow up you. The two main transportation issues in the pipeline, Wickiup Junction Interchange, which is been approved by ODOT, probably funded for the next 2 years, that is going to happen. Just the time frames that ODOT can get the money from the legislature to do it. And then the 97 and First Street, where there's a tremendous problem there with kids going across the street to go to McDonald's restaurant. It took us 2 years. I'm on the Lady Committee, the Lapine Industrial Group. It took us 2 years to get an agreement with ODOT. And we have an agreement now. Lady is going to pay for the traffic study on all three intersections in Highway 97 that cost us $770,000 for that. ODOT has agreed to abide by the findings, which they never agreed to before. Not at all. The problem is, ODOT is willing to pay one third of the cost, the county is willing to pay one third of the cost, and we've agreed to pay one third of the cost. Our share is going to be around $400,000. The problem is, where do we get the $400,000 from? There are lots of avenues to do that. This is a very long, drawn-out process, but it is getting done, and hopefully, within a reasonable length of time, whatever that might have to be, hopefully, the areas are going to get fixed. And it's because the council has been hammering the county, hammering ODOT, hammering the roads department, and they finally heard us. And we're finally doing something about
it. She answered my question, which was why they wanted, or answered her question, which was why they wanted to meet.
They had to answer that.
So that one's good.
Answer that. I don't know. I have been to Redmond 6 times to meet, and I've been up to Auckland to meet. I can get the meeting now and then, but for crying out loud, how much do you expect us to do? I mean, we're trying and we're taking on these different organizations and trying to put our name forward, but I can't go to everything. And I think I can speak for the other councilors too. They can't go to everything either. We go as much as we can. And I'm not even charging for the miles that I go except one time. So I'm doing this on my own, I'm volunteering as a counselor. So how much do you expect from me?
But I'm not good at answering. Well, and I think that's fair. We just want to answer why. And we know the answer we should have been at. But they want to know, and I don't think they're going to be defensive about it. They want to answer. Mm-hmm. Not answer. Thank you.
John Thomas, I'm not very willing to keep calling. And in the paper, obviously, you didn't apply advice. General, after FITA, they call for a planning commission. Now, according to our ordinances, two of the five planning commissions we have right now are to be at-large members. Myself, I did not have favor. The other three have to be residents of the city of the town. This is just the way the ordinance reads. Right now, they have a position open, wide open, on board of the state, we need five. For a planning commission. Now, ideally, we lost an awesome planning commissioner that I thought would be perfect to sit on the Transportation Systems Committee. Now, this is something we're talking about right now, so I'm going to just kill two birds with one stone right now. If anyone knows anybody that lives, this person that has to be replaced right now has to be a city resident. There's maps all over showing you where it is. That person, ideally awesome if that person was retired LA County Transportation. Road department guy, manager, girl, oversee the whole transportation of the world. That would be an awesome person right now to get into this planning commission. Because one of our subcommittees, if you will, is the Transportation Systems Planning Committee that is within the city limits, not county, outside the city limits, but within the city limits. Please, put the feelers out. That's the person that we need right now. Otherwise, I have to sit on the Transportation Subcommittee that I was elected for when I was gone on one meeting. that appetite was spending those papers for weeks and weeks and weeks. Nobody comes. You know,
it's easy for a lot of us to sit up and jabber our jaw like I am right now at these public meetings. But really, when it comes to the tough time hitting the ground and really doing the dirty work, you notice there's always about 10% of the people who do 100% of the work. Okay, let's not only get involved right here in these arenas, but let's attend more meetings. Let's find out, let's read the paper every once in a while. Let's find out when the Planning Commission is meeting. Let's attend those meetings. Okay, third Wednesday of every month, generally the third Wednesday of every month, can I get so involved? Council is the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. Okay? Planning Commission just one time a month. Okay, a lot easier to use. Wednesday, third Wednesday. The other thing too is, I just have a quick question. I was asked that currently the ordinance for city council members in City of Pine is that all five councils have to live within the city limits. Has there been any more discussion on one or two of those councilors actually living at large outside city limits?
Thursday night, Charter will be looking into that.
So, we, I believe, at the second meeting this month, so the 28th, 24th, we're going to be talking about the process as it concerns the development of the Charter. It will be an issue that will be researched. There was some preliminary research included. Research suggested it may be possible, but we don't have a charter currently. What we're governed by is state law. Working revised statutes, as you correctly stated, does require someone within the incorporated one to show the city council. So the long and short of it is, we're going to be researching it, more research, and ultimately it will go to the city council for a decision.
And do we have time schedule on the city council when that will be finished?
So that's what we're going to be covering on the 28th. We're going to develop a schedule of plans. Set some sort of timeline as far as the development of the charter so that it ultimately goes to the citizens of Pine during the November election.
I have one question I wanted to back up on.
Did you say commission for the charter?
Excuse me. Pat, from 51427 Cedar Road. You mentioned that you had gotten the final after 2 years in agreement with ODOT, right? Was that the writing or a liberal agreement?
Why is it writing on me? We have an agreement drafted by our attorney with all four parties that everyone is going to adhere to what was decided by talking to us. Yes, it is on paper.
Okay, and it is a legally binding one?
No, it's it. Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's drafted as a memorandum of understanding, but it does detail ODOT's obligations, county's obligations, our obligations.
All right, now if ODOT decides to back out of that for whatever reason, what can the city or the county do about it?
Well, you have to be more specific. I mean, the agreement is specific to the study. Yeah. And trying to come up with a study that identifies potential mitigation.
Right, and if the mitigation, you know, is set out,
right,
and ODOT says, well, we can't do this for whatever reason or don't want to do it, do they have recourse?
Do we have recourse? No. That agreement doesn't speak to that very issue. Okay. The agreement speaks to funding for the study. It speaks to the city's obligation to review and evaluate potential funding sources, for example, so that we have the funds available to implement whatever improvements are identified in the study. It details, for example, the county's obligations to control the RFP selection process to manage the project. As far as going beyond that, it's not covered in the agreement. That wasn't the purpose of the agreement.
Okay. I was curious how far and extensive it went.
And you can get a copy of it from Lawrence City Hall. There's a public document.
Okay.
And Jane is Jane, you had asked about the SDC. Specifically in that MOU, it identifies that the City of La Pine is responsible for commencing an evaluation or review of potential funding mechanisms, if you will. And one of those mechanisms specifically identified is, in fact, the development and potential implementation of an SDC ordinance.
I don't understand why the city would want to work for SDCs when ODOT has the different grants for road, where it's under the Connect Oregon grants or other federal grants that have for road maintenance. And really, that sector of ODOT compared to the to public transportation is almost 20% for public and 80% for road construction. I think there is an imbalance that the city council, Mayor Mejia, could address with ODOT is, if you look at the dollars you spend on roads, a good portion of it is spent on the other side of the mountain, whether you are in the Portland area, Salem area, or Eugene area, compared to Central Oregon. There is such an imbalance that it has to be addressed as to how we, on this side of the mountain, can have better dollars from ODOT coming over here for road improvements.
Mm-hmm. I can respond to that. I had a conversation with Gary Farnsworth a few months ago as we were trying to finalize the MOU. And the comment that he made in passing is that, frankly, ODOT's already looking to locating and obtaining grant funds for purposes of this project, in particular, the improvements. So, based on that conversation alone, it's my understanding that ODOT is going to contribute to the improvements as well. They're going to be the player.
Well, this is some of the effort that you'll share with you. I'm going to feel my sharing.
Sure. All right. John, as long as you're not campaigning for yourself.
Well, I can't. Nothing is going to say anything. Do that over there.
Okay.
It's about incorporation. I'm putting the whole of what I call incorporation. And what I'd like to say to council, I respect the job, and I can put in a lot of hard work, and I'm putting in a lot of hours to do it. And I thank you for that. I traveled a lot when I was younger. I go through these towns on roads like kind of like Japan. There's signs everywhere. I wouldn't stop. I'd just get gassed. But if I saw a pretty little town with nice trees and greenery, I'd stop and have lunch. I talk to people. I enjoy. And I remember, those are the towns I remember. And when I see all the signs grow up and everybody pushing the further out and getting bigger, and Aspen Allen cutting all those Aspen trees, it's called Aspen Allen. Where to cut all those trees? I was sick. I would like the Pine to think, the city of Pine to think about adding to the rest of the Pine portions. Because you have power when you have people with you. The more people you have with you. And I wish that we could start a new county with Sun River, La Pine, Crescent, Silver Lake, Gilcrest, and Deschutes County used to be Cook County, and the borders separated in the open, so that we're represented, so we get our roads fixed.
Thank you for that. Anyone else? We don't have the floor over here.
Andrew Speed, I'm live outside the city. Do you have any plans in the near future to incorporate the rest of us? Because we feel like we're outside of our own town.
Right now, you've already approved to map over there. The outside boundaries on all of those colors is the urban growth boundary for the Pine. That's a 20-year plan. If this economy turns around, basically overnight, and we start getting just flooded with people, that will dictate what we do with that urban growth boundary other than that 20-year plan. So, I'm not going to say that urban growth boundary will last for 20 years, but that is what's been approved so far. If you're out off the day of the road like I am and you want to leave it in the city of La Pine, you better hope for
thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people to grow into this area.
This is what would generate the change in that undergrowth. That undergrowth boundary was scheduled for 20 years. Now, there's plenty of room in that urban growth boundary. You can see that center section, whatever the name is, the Central of the Pine, I call it. That has 1,800 home sites that were written on. Hopefully, you know, if I'm still down in hell, there won't be that many, because I'm all about the pine being a little more spread out than downtown Bend. I've got a large truck that I go to Bend right now, and I'll tell you what, for being in wide open spaces in Central Oregon, I can't find a place to park. I can remember when Bend used to be an enjoyable place to go to. This planning commission does not want to make the pine on Bend. So you guys got to hear that. We do, however, want some uniqueness to the pine. Now, these are the type of things we need the public to chime in on. In the last 6 or 8 years, you've said that you want larger parcels, more parks, effective transportation, and this type of thing. This is what we're working on now. But on your question, the urban growth boundary, that's it. And if no one moves in the pine, it'll be over in 20 years.
State land use laws dictate how and when and under what conditions we can annex. And currently it's been determined that the current city boundaries, we have more than enough residential, commercial, and industrial land.
Here's how planning commissions work. If you are kind of hopeful that you're going to be, the Lapine grows from tens of thousands of people, they move in here, and now all of a sudden you have to address urban growth boundary. Okay, logic speaks, folks. Wouldn't this area right here be logical? Say sewer and water come right up to here. And now we need to increase the size of our city. How about this area right here? Any of those Lost Pond Rosa Road and River Pine? Mm-hmm. It's a chronological place for future incorporation. How about the radio grounds, Tony? How about the radio grounds right over here when the feds get ready to give it to us? Wouldn't that be a new addition to the city of the Pine? Sure. Big radio grounds right here. Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay, how about the people who live, does anybody else live down? How about down here? How about Sixth Street and all that, okay? Think of water and sewer lines, people. Think of water and sewer lines. Where the closest area that will go, that's, for those of us who live off of K Road, hey,
I'll never be mayor. I'm not going to sing the line.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they give me one at-large. I'll tell you that I'm on the council, all right? But that's the way it is right now. That's the way it's going to be for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I'm being casual from Cedar. One thing couldn't we do just like that would be to make just a policy change. I'm not talking about changing the boards of the town and all that, but just for the people who own businesses in the city that's already the city of the Pine, it seems to me that you could extend, the status, the voting status, of somebody who is a resident.
Yeah. If you all see residents, and if I was moving my thing down here, I'll be a resident, but
yeah,
I'm not
doing
that.
Right. You're trying to get more involvement of people with the city commission and the different committees and all of the different things. The people who own businesses in town have big interest, and they would vote and have time.
They have council meetings and no one shows up. We've got to get more involvement from the public.
That's what I'm saying. If the business owners have more to say and didn't feel like they were being, you know, they're not welcome, basically.
They do have a say. And if you let the city council and tell you to go to City Hall down there, and all of a sudden it's seeing the role of the business people down there on any given night, I'll tell you what, give me the rest and we're going to stand up.
But as far as having a club, again, that is one of the things that Jeremy's going to be looking into when we start working our charter.
Well, that's for the charter, but the committees, for example, you have at-large positions in the committees, so there is an effort to try to bring, I guess, receive the voice of people that are living outside the city.
That area is the Education Systems Committee. That is vitally important to the planning. Everybody talks about transportation and planning. Everybody talks about it. We've got to get some people involved in that, and we've had for weeks, 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 we can't get anybody to answer the call.
Well, this is the real patient over here. I'm going to Johnson. I finally live inside the city limits. We have the Lapine Business Park, the industrial park, the heavy-duty industrial. We've got hundreds and hundreds of them. Can't we bring in more businesses? I mean, it would help our infrastructure, it would help jobs, it would help businesses, it would help bring people down, it would be jobs if we could just grow that up and be more friendly to bring more businesses in. And would that help populate the area that's over here? Because all these buildings right down here, which we said, I'd like to bring up another circle.
And
the tax base.
Yes.
We want the tax money in that.
The utilities committee. We're looking for, looking into all of the aspects on how we can get the city to absorb, to annex, to extinguish the water and sewer districts. And that's what is going to get the community.
So we can be more visible.
We have, and you know what, and we have an opening on that committee.
Well, I have to think, and people want to move, if you want to move to a town, they're not attractive, pretty.
Yeah.
And we're all thinking, I kind of give up on brothers and sisters and all that, but you know what I mean, could we be a little bit more?
Don't give up on that.
Well, we want to have the volunteers. I mean, we can have a beautification day and paint and shovel.
There you go,
Lee. And our committee.
Also, local rules kind of killed Boston during the crisis before the depression, the recession we went into. And nobody wanted to move here because of that, so they might get a $30,000 new system stuck on their house. And I don't know how many people know here, but the federal government takes 71% of any new city a new septic system. And the county is not telling us that. $30 million to research it, but they wouldn't be saying they took $30 million to help the people that can't afford the new system. I just want to know that limits now for people wanting to move here, knowing I bet you a lot of them don't know that that got voted down.
Well,
that's
the word.
Follow up, keep in mind, whichever codes and ordinances are all done, the city has the industrial park, where we need to have industry, that is only controlled strictly by the Chiefs County. We have first time all the work on that. We have nothing to say about what happens. The city is our own business. We have the lowest property tax rate of any city in the world. We as a council and our president have okayed every single application in conjunction with Deschutes County for building businesses, for existing businesses to expand and add to. We're doing, you know, whatever we can do to promote business. But
business has to come here.
Right.
First.
We have to track it.
Wait,
and don't we have an enterprise zone over here too?
What?
An enterprise zone?
Which is the city and zone.
If we unify and open up our
markets. That is the lowest price per square foot industrial enterprise zone in the state of Oregon. And we have one plant going in there, and that's the BioGreen electrical plant, and that will start this year.
Good.
And nobody else is looking.
Here, newspaper reporters. Here, newspaper reporters. They need to say that.
That, you know, here's an important point that we have to, that comes up too, and that is we have an enterprise zone. We're business friendly, but we also have the issue of the STD taxes associated with the utilities, and that has to be tackled.
Right. What am I going back here for?
I just wanted to ask you a question. Doug, you were saying that the county was the only one that had an influence on the industrial parks, but doesn't the school of the water district have a lot to do with how attractive that is? Hanging up with BioGreen, there's been a hang up with BioGreen because of utilities issues. So until the city can absorb them, we're going to have a solid point more from the utilities than it is from the county. Because my understanding from the county is they're all pro business for us, but I understand the utilities who are in waters, they're not pro business.
But remember that the council, we have to start number one and work our way down.
I understand that.
For a couple of years that didn't look very good, but we are right now on the right track, getting everything done in priority. And sewer and water being absorbed by the city is going to happen. But we have to have a whole bunch of other things in place first. There's a tremendous debt involved in this whole thing. We're not sure how we're going to pay for it. We haven't done the complete research yet. But we are. It is on the list, and we are working on it.
So I'm on the utilities committee, and part of what Doug says is correct. But the utilities, in our preliminary research, and we put a lot of time and effort in it, indicates that it is a viable solution, that the income and debt ratio are healthy at that time. Is that not?
It is. However, we also know that the current debt of USDA, they would have to say as to whether it would allow the city to assume the loan, and it is not just assumable, the city would have to apply the loan. So that's something else we look at too. And as far as the SDC charges that the water and sewer districts are charging, those were set by the lender. And I didn't know that until very recently. So if the USDA is dictating these extremely high SDC charges, and so we can't blame water and sewer districts for that. But hopefully someday the city can feasibly take this over, and that loan or that term of that loan, that particular term and condition, can be renegotiated.
And in the case of water and sewer districts, they're not trying to impede the prospect of BioGreen coming here. They're doing their due diligence and making sure that they understand exactly what kind of agreement they would be entering into with BioGreen, what BioGreen would be, the impact that it would have on those systems, and what BioGreen would, what the compensation would be for that. So it's a lot more complicated than what you might think.
Remember one thing. I was elected to the council a year and a half ago, and I thought at that time that going to the city was a good thing. I thought that was a good thing. But they jumped up and went out and took their stuff. But I found out real quick that there are layers and layers and layers and layers of bureaucracy that you get at the county, at the state, at the federal, that you have to work through before it looks like you've got anything done. And if, in a lot of cases, I live on in Cable, we have gravel roads with big holes. Our finances are going to be, when are we going to fix the roads? Well, we're working on it.
but it takes forever to get all the paperwork in place so that we can hire a diamond tracker.
And every step of the way, you have to have the proper guidance in knowing what you're signing on to and how you're signing on to it, so that you know that somebody isn't going to turn around and sue you. At least you hope they are. So it's very time consuming. You don't have anything to accomplish. One last question. What is the name of the ad that got Facebook in that's supposed to be working to give people's businesses to come in all of them? Okay, so that's the reason that you got this.
Yeah, and the reason that my company is considering the
Harmony
as well.
So I was wondering what, you know, they have a stepchildren down there, right?
We're getting a lot of good recognition.
Right at our scheduled wrap-up time, does anyone want to continue on? I'd like to say thank you for, I appreciate the fact that people finally start speaking up and getting animated and letting us hear what's on their mind. That's what we all came here for.
And I talk to people at EDCO, and they entertain hundreds of people, of businesses, which are people, they represent their people, for everyone they can get in Central Oregon. And Prineville, they were kind of prepared and desperate, and they had a big makeout session. Prineville loved Facebook so much they had to come in. They gave them that land. Cheaper than getting for us to make sure they have discounts on taxes. They did every possible thing. The counselors whined and banged them. I mean, actually whined and banged them. And took them to parties and they fell in love with them. And if corporations defend their corporations, you know, there's people that are corporations and they are affected by us. So if we as a community, and it's like a lot of what you were talking about today, the beautification and all that, we have to be inviting. We have to say, yes, we want you. We can't scratch our head and say, well, let us think about it for a few weeks. We'll see if we can figure out a way to maybe let you put in an application. We have to be ready to go now and at least open the doors to some conversation and love on these people a little bit. The other part of that is don't take for granted don't underestimate the value of the vital green sustainable company that's coming in. We hope, because Edco also told me that they're one of the biggest things that's on the table in Central Oregon right now. We're really lucky to have them. So we still need to lie in dining, and if there's anything that gets in the way, get it out of the way as quick as we can, because they're not here yet. And if they could be the impetus that somebody said, oh, they went to Lapine. Let's look at Lapine. Maybe that's a good place to go. We need to put on a desk space and be very, very, very welcoming to them, all of us. Doesn't matter if we have a little corner store or a big company or we're on the city council or whatever we're doing. We need to be prepared to welcome these people. Yeah.
Mention all the new committees we've got with the chamber, the tourism and commerce. We need your help. That's to attract people to come in and do their businesses.
Anyway, it's not really called me in the pine because we do have people looking at us, and Edco is looking out for us now more than ever, but we need to be seen and heard. So, anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else have anything?
I'd just like to thank you guys for your volunteerism on the council.
Yes. Thank you, John, and likewise to all of you on the Planning Commission and our other committees. Provide a valuable service. Before we close, I'd like to ask if any of the councilors have any closing statements.
Very simply, thank you all very much. A lot of the questions you brought up are pretty good. I understand that you are listening to everything and everybody, no matter whether you live in the city or outside the city, we're accepting input from everyone. And we're just trying to do the best possible job that we can possibly do for everybody. But also keep in mind that unfortunately, I don't like it anymore.
Thanks for coming. I just think that we should acknowledge the first time that we have a renewed excitement, and we should come together for a vision. That's all I have to say.
I'd like to say thank you again. I'm glad to see a good turnout and active participation. Thank you.
I appreciate the watchdogs, and I hope that you all keep hammering at us to get things done, because it keeps us on top of everything. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks to everybody for coming. I, too, being the newest counselor, I've learned a lot. I kind of actually re-echo what Doug says. When I came on the council, I couldn't understand why, if you went and put the bathroom, you just couldn't go. That is the way it works in the council. You call a recess forum. To give you permission to go. No, please think of that when you say we're not moving, because I think a lot of
we're not done quite yet, and please remember we still have to formally adjourn the meeting. Staff, do you have any comments? Any closing comments?
Okay.
Well,
good meeting.
Yeah,
it's
good.
Good.
All right, with that, I will call for a motion for adjournment.
We're so moved.
Yes.
Alpha Brian, yes.
Council, this meeting is adjourned at 3:00.